corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because he's done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag and Underdog Fantasy. BetOnline continues to be the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting in 2025. Whether you're a seasoned fan or a first-time bettor, BetOnline is your ultimate game day companion. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, the NBA, college basketball, to NHL and UFC, BetOnline is the number one sports betting source for the new year. From touchdowns to three-pointers and hat tricks, BetOnline has you covered on every game, every play, and every win. BetOnline, the game starts here. Want to make some quick cash and have fun during the NFL playoffs? Well, it's time to embrace your inner underdog. Over the last 3 weeks, we have given 11 selections, and we have cashed on 10 of those, predicting higher or lower on multiple different player statistics. So we are ready to continue this heater into the playoffs. So if you have yet to download the Underdog app, do so now and get free cash. Click the link in the description or use promo code CHIEFCONCERNS, one word, to claim your free pick plus first-time deposit offer up to $1,000 in bonus cash. It's NFL playoff season. So let's continue to keep the good vibes in 2025. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns, your post-game show back on the YouTube channel for our live. I'm Marcus Dash. Right there in the middle is former Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn and my brother Tasia Dash. Gentlemen, the Chiefs are now 7-0 in the divisional round during the Patrick Mahomes era, and it feels so dang good, guys. How are you guys feeling after that one?
I feel good. I mean, you know, you got the win. That's what you wanted, right? So that means we advance on to the AFC Championship game, which we were expecting. That's what we wanted to do when you accomplished that. Now, the way that we accomplished it, we're going to have to talk about some of the positives and the negatives on how we got there. And so what we need to do moving forward. And so I think that's very, very important to have that conversation. But as far as like how I felt about the game, getting the win is a win. It looked beautiful. I know those guys are happy. So that was a good thing.
You're right, JD. Plenty of stuff to talk about tonight. A lot of good and a lot of concerning things we'll talk about. Tasia, quick thoughts before we get into the nugget of everything.
I will just kind of back up what JD just said. I loved the win. I did not love the game. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think, you know, what's funny was it's symbolic to how just our games are. Nico Remigio's opening kickoff return, I think that's symbolic to how our Chief games are. 70-yard run, and then all of a sudden strip. Balls, you know, out in the open, and then we somehow get it in the end, and it's our ball. That's kind of symbolism to how life of a Chiefs fan is. That Nico Remigio opening kickoff return is just symbolism to our how it is being a Chiefs fan. I will say at least this year's season. But JD, there's a lot of things to take away from this game. I want to start kind of the one of the cool things of this, and I think it's the theme of the season. Is the blast from the past aspect of it. And Kareem Hunt, we picked him up. Never thought I would see him in a Chiefs uniform in 2025 in a playoff game scoring a touchdown. Never thought I'd see him look like being our RB1 by the end of that game. I didn't even know who Isaiah Pacheco was at the end of that game because they're feeding the beast. They're feeding Kareem. Number 29 was getting the totes at the end of that game because he was the only one doing anything. We're kind of creating something back there. Churning those legs for extra yards, those tough yards. Finished the game at 8-44. And that's one aspect of it. And then the other aspect of it was Travis Kelce. While a lot of people thought he was done, he was cooked. Travis Kelce comes in, has his biggest yardage output of the season in this playoff game. I know we made mention of it during the season, JD, that, you know, we were really saving the best of Travis Kelce for these next 3 weeks. And I was, but we actually saw it today. He was in there pretty much the entire game. He wasn't being checked out at every play like he was during the season at every other play. He was in there for most of the game. 7 for 114. On top of that, 14 straight 70-yard games in the postseason, 15 straight postseason game with 5-plus catches, and becomes the second pass catcher in NFL history to eclipse a 2,000-yard receiving marker, only being him and Jerry Rice with the only 2,000 yards. So now, I mean, if he gets – based on the track that he set himself today, he could easily break that record by a Super Bowl if we get to that point, when we get to that point. So, J.D., the blast in the past element, what did you see from Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce today that really, really struck you in a good way?
What I've seen was a effort that we needed from our heroes, our guys like Travis Kelce. He came and he delivered. We said he was a playoff Travis Kelce. That's what you was going to get. And so he's been doing it for years, just showing why he is dominant as he is. They left him open a few times, and him just being able to just get up the field and get yak yards was spectacular. And so we said that. I said that when they were speaking all of this madness out here and saying, you know, who's the Chiefs going to be able to throw the ball to? They're not going to be able to get open. And then lo and behold, all you see is Travis Kelce just hitting them over the head, left to right, and it really couldn't stop him. So that in itself is his superpower. Him and Pat is on the same page. Pat knows he gets in a pinch, that's the guy he's going to. So Travis Kelce is amazing as ever. All the accolades you just said and all the numbers he was able to achieve, that is hard work and effort, because he represents as being one of the greatest tight ends ever played a game, period, point blank. And in the playoffs, too. Like one of the greatest players in the playoffs, okay? Not just tight end. I'm talking about players, period, in the playoffs. Then going to the point that you were talking about Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt, this was type of game that we needed a Kareem Hunt in, okay? A bruiser, a guy that's going to come in and he's going to run and bowl over and turn his back and get a yard or two. He's going to do all the tough yards. And so – when we were screaming for the run game, I know I was, put it on Twitter and whatnot. I'm like, you know, a run game looks non-existent. Matter of fact, it was just messing us up because we couldn't even sustain anything because our run game wasn't there. And so when we said, okay, let's hand it back right here to this guy, Kareem Hunt. All right. A guy that's played in the cold before, who's been very successful. A guy that you know is going to give everything he possibly can to get a win because he wants a Super Bowl. And he wanted one with the Chiefs. And what he did this past game, he showed the reason why when you have winner games like this, cold games like this, nobody wants to tackle a guy like that. It makes it hard. It makes it difficult to handle a guy like that. And he just rode the wave. And once we gave the ball to him, that's exactly what we needed. He was the antidote to what it was that we needed in our run game. And so he was spectacular toward the end. I thought we should have gave it to him at the very beginning of the game. But, you know, it is what it is. But, hey, man, Kareem Hunt, amazing job as well.
Did Kareem Hunt have – I mean, he had two double-digit runs. I'm not, I don't know if he did that all year. I need to look that up. He had 10 and a 12. Very impressive. His best plays were his short yardage plays, and I know someone said he should be a short yardage back. That fourth and one that he got was huge, and he got hit behind the line of scrimmage, but he's so good at absorbing contact and kind of spinning forward into more yards. And he's so thick that it's just hard when he kind of leans, when he leans like that, it's just so hard to get him back, pushing him back on that. He's just so good at getting those extra yards. In a game like this, like you said, it's so important. I keep waiting for Pacheco to look more like Pop. He's looking more like Crackle right now. So, that's too bad. But the good thing was one of our best acquisitions of the year, Kareem Hunt, just keep pushing forward, man. That's all I could say about him. I mean, Mahomes almost led our team in. Mahomes is one carry away from tying for carry lead. Like, that should not happen in a game. That's crazy to think about. Kelce, in a similar manner, I mean, 49-yarder, what they say, career playoff high for long.
Yeah, longest.
I think he might have even broke someone's ankle on that. I mean, I haven't seen Kelce have that kind of broken tackle in a while. He does it again, right? I mean, we just keep seeing this. I don't know how you can save your best for last when you play the majority of the season like he does, but he seems to just kind of put some in the bank in the savings account for the playoffs every year, and we get to see a level up from him, right? It's incredible. You don't. I mean, it's hard to. I mean, you know this obviously, JD. It's like you can't play half speed. You can't play any less than full speed when you play football, right? One, you just get killed out there. And two, you look terrible. But it seems like he somehow has a level up in the playoffs. Not that his level is bad in the regular season, but he just seems to like save this extra gear for the playoffs for the last couple years. Kelce, it's awesome to see. And I mean, Worthy was only a guy to catch a ball out of the receivers. It's crazy. So I just, you look in that box score, it just pops out.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, man, when you talk about that, like Travis Kelce, this is what he's always been, and once you give him rest, you know, adequate rest, where he can come in and destroy a team like the Texans, you see, this is a result of it. Of giving him some time off, letting him heal his body up a little bit, let him see his little sugar thing in Taylor Swift, right? You know, and hey, he's got a little bit more of some juice to him, moving around, looks good. You know, he was doing like the old school moves, like it's just the old like, oh, you got me with that move, sort of like another one I could look at, like Larry Bird would get people with moves that was real slow. And you just couldn't believe he was beating people with that move. But because, you know, he's already setting them up, he just looked fluid. He looked fluid out there. There was a couple of times, and I know y'all seen it too, where he was looking to try to do the lateral. He was going to do the one at D-Hop, and I think it was another he was trying to look for. So, which is also kind of a danger to defenses out there as well. But we know, look, Travis Kelce, man, he's – everybody keeps talking about he's slowing down, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he don't have the speed he used to have. We understand that. He's not 10 years younger, but he's still as crafty as ever. Yeah. He's still able to get open. He's still the touchdown, he moved from one window to the next window behind Azeer. And he just, when first window went open, he moved to the next one. And so Pat seen that, right?
Yeah.
Them being on the same wavelength, I mean, it works. It just, we see it work over years and time again. And Pat knows if I get in a pinch, I get some problems, ball's not moving, I'm looking to 87. That's where I have to go. That's where I have to go. We got to be the ones that lead this offense to the promised land. We got to be the ones that do it. And so when they didn't really have anything working, man, offensively, I mean, that's the connection, right? That's the connection. So we just had to figure out, man, the very next game. We got to put some things together as far as like play calling, running the football, figuring some things out up front, because there's still some issues and some problems that we've seen. Hey, and I'm going to say this. Was there a little rust? Absolutely. You know, we know that.
We were lucky to get that return to open the game. Otherwise, that field goal would have been a punt to the Texans like immediately. That probably would have been a 3-and-out. Back to the Texans, which would have been terrible.
Yeah. I just, is that a combination of players being rusty and the coach being rusty? Sure. Absolutely. Maybe some of the play calling wasn't as great. Got away with the run game, just came away from it because we weren't really getting any type of positive yards. But I do believe, and I keep going back to this, like this was a Kareem Hunt game. He should have been the one that started this thing off. Then Pacheco, you know, kind of feeding off what some of the things that he was doing. And gave him Pacheco, nothing against Pacheco, nothing at all, right? But we understood what this defense was going to be. We knew how good Texans defense was. You know, no doubt about it. So, and they made a point, and they were humming. Them jokers was hitting out there, man. It was this is playoff hitting. It was playoff hitting today. And I just, man, I found myself just like, oh, gosh, look, oh, hearing, cracking heads. I told the pads going to be popping like fish grease. M Jokers was popping today, man. They were popping, for real.
Fish grease does pop.
Yes, sir. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's for sure.
JD, what did you make of the game plan? Just because I see somebody, the King Mo said in chat, the game plan. Yeah, I love Andy's game plan of avoiding the two outside corners. And I don't know if it was in the cards for us, but D-Hop gets one target. Oliver Brown, he had two targets in the game. And Xavier Worthy is the only receiver to catch a ball today. And there's multiple times where we would see Worthy in there with Hendershot, Noah Gray, and Kelsey. There are multiple times we would see that kind of personnel groupings. But what did you make of the receivers really not getting involved today? Was that more of just avoiding their two stud cornerbacks, or what did you make of the game plan offensively?
To be honest with you, I think they were kind of trying to filter guys out there. Guys are probably being double teamed. You know, you would always rush four. They weren't rushing more than that. They wanted the four to get home. And what do? You have seven sitting back in coverage. We threw the ball up to Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown, that was a Joker's beat. That's a hell of a catch, man. It didn't.
I know.
It threw it down. So it's not like we didn't want to challenge the corners. I think we could have probably did that. But I think one thing you have to do, man, you got to establish your offense some way, somehow, some type of rhythm. So what does that mean? If they're leaving the middle open, why not go to it? Same thing with our defense. Our defense left the middle wide open, right? Safety's supposed to come down and react, get the guy on the slot. Hey, why not throw the slant? Why not throw it right there behind the linebackers? Why not just keep doing that? Because it's working. So that's what you do. Keep doing things that work. But I don't think they intentionally didn't want to try them. I'm sure they tried them. But they just, you know, they wanted to keep, like, get. You had to get into a rhythm. You got to be able to move the chains. And sometimes when you put it on the drawing board, it don't quite work that way. And that's what we were kind of seeing. We wanted more yards out of the running game. Didn't quite happen. So those things, I do believe we did try to attempt to get at the corners, man. We just wasn't getting open, or Pat just wasn't seeing them. Either way, they made sure that they the guys out there, they were covered.
Yeah.
You know, because I said that they, one thing that we wanted to do, and that's one thing Andy and those guys made sure was they wanted to make sure they covered every blade of grass out there. You know what I mean? Like, don't condense the things that you do offensively. Like, you make sure they had to cover everything. And I'm sure Andy and those guys just did it. They probably just didn't get open, or, you know, Pat, like I said, didn't see them.
I just expect more. I mean, I told Marcus during the game at one point, this feels more like a Chiefs regular season game than it does a Chiefs playoff game. I know we didn't get – I think we're always in playoff mode now. We played in, you know, extended seasons for the last however many years. But – and we don't get rattled, right? It's like the – I feel like a team, like the Texans, they got down by one. They had like a, oh, all right, it's a game again. It's a game. We're in this now. And then we just come right back, right? Like, and just and do it. We're just automatic, right? We're like for all you Mario Kart players, if you have like the highest, the best speed, the best time, and you have to like fight that time, so the little ghost driver's next to you, it's like that. Like, we're just fast around the track every time, and you got to keep pace with that, or else you're not going to win. You're just not going to win. But I think I'm most disappointed though that we had the extra time. It was the read bye week. And it was the reason why, you know, Nick Wright was saying to take, you know, the over in points in the first half. I didn't, so I'm not bitter about that. But it is a little concerning that we didn't scheme it better. I mean, I know the Texans defense is awesome, but we played them, you know, it's like we didn't play them in the week two. We played them like a month ago. So we see how we looked recently against the same exact defense. And with 2 weeks to prepare. And I think that was coming off like 4 days to prepare for them, right? Wasn't that off the 5-day break? So we looked more prepared for them off a 5-day break than we did off of a 2.5-week break, which it just, to me, I mean, I'm not upset, but it is a little more concerning. That's all.
But I think it goes into like, you know, really like playing football full speed. like you said, you could try to simulate it in practice as much as you want to. And Troy, those guys made a great point. They were saying the Texans looked a lot more relaxed than the Chiefs did.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they just got finished playing. So for them, they just going through the same rhythm of what they've been doing, right? And they needed that game to get to where they are right now. So the stakes are a little bit higher. The Chiefs knew, like, okay, we got to win this game. We can't lose at home. We can't do all these different things. And even you had to think about it. You got to make sure that you are protecting your house. You got to make sure you are protecting your legacy. I mean, that's why it's so significant what the guys are doing out there, that you can't really make mistakes. So
I know it's crazy to even ask this. No. Mm-hmm. It almost looked like a look ahead game. Like we almost weren't sure because we were looking ahead to like the real opponent we have to play between the two juggernauts left, which is crazy to think that because it's a playoff game.
Yeah.
But unless we're just attributing it just to not looking sharp because we had to get back into not only playoff mode, but like football mode, right? So it's not only jumping into a jump rope that's already going fast. It's going super fast. We have to just jump back into it and start jumping. So, but it came across like that. It was like, man, we just don't, you know, especially in the first half. It looked a lot better in the second half, I will say.
Yeah. It, like I said, man, you just can't simulate game speed unless you are actually playing game speed. And that kind of goes into the point of watching Justin Reed fly around like a heat-seeking missile, absolutely hitting everybody and everything that was moving. He was launching himself, you know, off his feet to tag Jokers, CJ Stroud, and everybody else that was catching the football. And that's what you put yourself on the line for, those things. You don't do those things in practice. You can only do things like that in the game.
Yeah.
You're doing something like it in practice, there's a problem. Coach is like, hey, man, you need to come over here. We need you. We need that in the game. You can't do that in practice. Practice, we tag off. That's what we do, okay? Or we fit up on guys. But in the game, you turn it all loose. It's the same thing when you're blocking guys up front. Guys going to bite you. They're going to claw you, hit you in your throat. All those different things. All that matters. All that matters. And so it does take a little bit of time to get back into the game feel of things, right?
Yes.
And the coaches too. Tempo-wise. Because the situation where everything changes. Like, okay, well, wait a minute. Hold on. We can't do that. We got to scratch this. Let's go back, you know, to the drawing board on it. And so that was another thing. Like I said, we wanted to run the football well, I'm sure, but we didn't get enough yards. So they scratched that part. We threw the ball out to Xavier Worthy, the out route to him. Beautiful route. Beautiful route. He caught like two great balls. He played a tremendous job, man. I mean, he had five catches. The one that we needed the first down on, the first one, exceptional. The one that he almost had a first down, that it was fourth down, if he kept his feet, he would have had that too. But it was a beautiful out route. So we could have ran against the corners and stuff like that. But there's a particular times that you do put pressure on the defense in certain situations. That's just how it has to work. It has to work. So
you mentioned Justin Reed. Now I want to get to the defense. A lot of good from the defense. Also, some concerning things that I want to get your thoughts on. But defensively, second half, after that long 100-minute drive, it seemed like, with a 15 plays, they got a touchdown and then missed the extra point. The run game, Joe Mixon was eating us up. And I thought we were going to kind of stymie the run game because Tank Dell is gone. You just cut Deontay Johnson. Robert Woods is just a punt returner. He's not even playing, getting offensive snaps. You're dealing with Xavier Hutchinson and John Mechie. Dalton Schultz, who's also all these guys that were on the injury report this week, and what's the Joe Mixon limps into this game. He wasn't going to play, but nonetheless, he looked like the Pro Bowl that he was this year in this game. And I thought you only have to worry about Mixon and Nico. Then Mixon goes off tonight and has a really great game. But after that, it seemed like after that that drive, we kind of just hummed in the blitz. I mean, eight sacks, Carlotta's three. Carlotta's nearly gets half of what he had during the regular season in this game.
It's great.
Which is pretty wild. What did you guys think of the game plan that Spags had? I know you mentioned Justin Reed was flying around, JD, and it seemed like he was one of the few who was flying around popping, because it seemed like Houston was doing that on their side of the ball. It seemed like Justin Reed was the only one kind of doing that outside our edge rushers who were getting to the quarterback. It seemed like he was the only one kind of flying around out there playing free and loose out there. What did you make of Spags' game plan today, JD?
I like his game plan. You know, thing is, you know, guys just got to make plays. Guys got to get off blocks. You know, the fundamental things that you have to do, right? The one where Joe Mixon was able to get the first down, I think I was arguing with a guy on Twitter about it because he was talking about Nick Bolton. And Nick Bolton, oh, he's supposed to be the number one run stopper, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so everything's on Nick Bolton to stop the run. I got it. Okay. So it had nothing to do with the defensive tackles, had nothing to do with the defensive ends. You know, those guys got to get off blocks. Third quarter, we can stop them for nothing. Joe Mixon's run up the middle of the field, and a lot of it was because he's putting ourselves out of position. And a lot of it starts up front. So as good as those guys did play against, what we start seeing, spurts of those doing a great job. The defense did a great job. I'm not taking anything away from them. But the run is concerning, and we just weren't doing a good job stopping the run. That means coming off the blocks. That means the defensive tackles have to take two. That means the defensive end has to use his hands to get off and shed blocks. You got to condense the hole, come off and make the play. We weren't doing it. And so sometimes when you put yourself out of position, you hurt the guys behind you. And so one of the points I was trying to make is, well, shoot, Nick's trying to make tackles, but the guard's coming up to him. So that means that the defensive tackle is not holding too. That's what you try to do. You try to at least, you know, hold that guard from going up to your the second level, or the same thing, Drew Tranquil being in the position. So they did some things, obviously, you know, counters and flows and whatnot to get the linebackers moving, and then you just create a wall. That's what happens. But Justin Reed going out there, man, playing at a high level, hitting everything, I think he had a vendetta out. That was without a doubt. He wanted to show everybody, listen, it's just not going to be that easy walking up in here without me saying something about this. So I thought he played a great game. And then, you know, as far as everybody else, you know, behind him, I mean, McDuffie was blanketing as well. We couldn't get off the field on third down when we needed to. Aminihu had spots. He did some great things. Aminihu, Chris Jones came in spots, did it when he needed to do. Kalafi was talking about the three sacks that he had. FAU came in, made a big play. So everybody contributed for this win and just accumulated for them just giving up 12 points. They gave up 12 points for this game, okay? Not the 14, 12, right? So I think they did an amazing job. But when Spags brought the pressure, start bringing the blitz, he worked C.J. Stroud into a false sense of security is what he did. And then all of a sudden, he disrupted every bit of that comfort. That's what happened. And so fourth quarter, he just started bringing blitzes from everywhere. And they had no answer. They had zero answer for that at all, right? And so I thought that was brilliant by Spags because I was waiting. When is the pressure going to come?
I know.
Where's the pressure? And so Spags is like, I just, okay, shoot. They gave him their best shot. We see.
He put his scope down. It was like a hunter, and he was just like, all right. That's what I felt like. I felt like it was like one of those Animal Planet videos where you see like a cheetah going after something you prey, a little limping antelope or something.
You know, he's talking real, you know, like this into the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's sitting out there about 350 yards away. We're going to take him down real easy.
Yeah. And you sound so, like you're commentating golf right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm behind the scope when it be silent.
No, yeah.
Right? You know, so.
Stroud's approaching the fifth fairway here.
Mm-hmm.
He's two behind par.
Well, that's as calm as yeah. Fans was. Yeah. Fans was doing that. I'm sure he was,
yep,
you know, talking that way to Bolton. No, look, y'all just calm down. I'm gonna bring the blitz. Don't worry about it.
It's coming. It's coming. Relax. Yeah, I'm trying to see what they're doing here first. Then I can let me adjust. Mm-hmm.
JD, I know you're defending Bolton on Twitter. I have a question here from Taryn Young. He's saying, talk about Nick and pass protection. I think he means talk about Nick Bolton in coverage. Is he responsible for the midfield? Is what he's asking.
Depends. What I saw Nick doing, he had man coverage on the back. So what ends up happening is, if it's man coverage, the count goes, he's got number three usually. Okay, and so if they're pulling him out of the middle, which you know, that's what teams do, then he's got to play his responsibility. Now, the thing is, he can call Banjo. Banjo means you got my guy and I got yours. So he can call Banjo, Banjo, Banjo. He could pass those things off to the guy that has his guy, right? So in essence, number two becomes number three. Three becomes number two. That guy takes number two. Number three, you know, two becomes number three, who's Nick Bolton's. But if he just stays with it, then it's not his. So everybody has a responsibility. And that's what I was watching. I was just watching how they was pulling them out of the middle, because that what was called on the defense. Now, what ended up happening was they run basically a 3-by-1 set, okay, or 3-by-2, however you want to call it. That safety who's coming down knows he has that slot guy, which is another reason, another problem, an issue I have, is sometimes I see our safeties on slot covering. I never like that. Never like that at all. But when you're asked to deliver and react to that slot guy on a slant or across the middle, you got to see it, read, react, and come down immediately to make that play. I think we're just a step behind on that. It's hard to do at safety. I'm not taking anything away from doing that, but that is your responsibility. You know you have that guy. So it depends on the coverage, Teron. That's the answer. And all that other stuff too. I see it.
Major Chief Bastard says they kept completing those deep dig routes on third downs right behind our linebackers in coverage. That was concerning as well. I mean, I will say Nico Collins is better than any receiver that Buffalo or Baltimore has that will be playing next week. And Nico is just out of this world. I will say Baltimore and Buffalo, they have a lot of mid-tier guys, but they don't have a wide receiver one like the one we just played today. So that's one thing that I will say. Yeah. Yes, bigger opponent we're playing next week as far as a better opponent overall, but they don't have wide receiver one like we had to play against this week. So I think it'll be a little different next week.
The running games next week are far superior to this.
Far?
Wait.
Well, yeah. if you add in quarterback, yes, but some of the running back wise.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Mixon's better than James Cook. I mean, I would rather have Joe Mixon in my backfield.
No, but I'm also counting the quarterback.
I don't know now. James Cook is he's cooking. I both of them doubles did a good job this year. I think
I'm James counting Cook. Quarterbacks though. So it's not even close anymore.
You're right? Counting that, then yes, I agree. Yeah,
We have to worry about dual threats on both those teams. So at least with this one, I know Stroud can run. He's not a runner. I wouldn't call Stroud a runner, right? Those other two guys next week, they're looking to pull whereas this week we weren't as worried about it. And he still, what did he run for today? He ran for
like 40 yards,
42 yards, man. That's a lot. That's too much. But, next week, I'm more worried about that. And they had a better number one receiver this week for sure. I do agree with that. It's funny about the defense. You know, we had as many sacks as the Texans had quarterback hits today. That's how many sacks we had. It's crazy. We had, I think, 15 quarterback hits. Was it? 14. It's crazy. One of my buddies texted me. And he's like, Texans are pretty much leading in almost every single category, but like you're winning by double digits. It's insane. I don't know how to explain it. And I was like, well, sacks. That's one category where we are emphatically winning. And it pretty much sums everything up though, because you look at their drives in the second half. Stroud went 6 for 6 out of the gates on the touchdown drive. They looked incredible in that drive. I mean, everything was working for them, right? 1 for 6 in the next two drives. And then the next drive, he was 6 for 6 again, but he was sacked 4 times that drive. So even though he was on it, we just kept getting him back, pulling him back into just rough situations constantly. That kind of just summed it up, where when we gave up completions, we made up for it with either pressure or a sack. I mean, going 6 for 6 and not going anywhere, that's crazy if you think about that, right? But, yeah, it was just him with a scope, picking him off, man.
Yeah. I mean, negative plays equal up to, whatever it is that you're doing as far as, completions. So
FAU, man, FAU.
Mm-hmm.
Look good on that second. He looked good on that. I forgot. I think it was a Damian Pierce tackle he had by shedding the blocker and getting him down. That was a nice play.
Nice play. Nice play.
That's nice play.
Yeah. Because that pushed him out of field goal range, or at least it pushed him, to the point that, you know, I forgot how it ended, but I think that's what it was. But it was a nice play on him. But when we kind of watched, you know, kind of this second half, and Thunder Dan was saying, CJ can absolutely run, but in Mahomes style, picking their moments, yes. He's more of that type of guy. When we know if it's the Ravens that come in, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, you know, running 50 times in cold weather, is that's going to be their, you know, their advantage.
That's their offense.
That's their offense.
That's their offense.
Yeah.
Stroud running is not their offense.
No.
That's what I meant.
Not that he can't run it, but he can. We've seen that today. Same thing with Josh Allen. If Josh Allen's and those guys be able to make it, I mean, you got Cook, and Josh Allen takes his time to take off running. The question is, are we going to be able to hold up with our front seven? That's the question. And the thing is, if they start leaning on us early and often, that wears us down. So we're going to have to do some things differently up front. We're going to have to play a much better game than we did from our front seven in the run game. Okay, than we did today. Make no mistake about it, because when we see either team that comes in, it's going to be a heavy dose of run. We got to know it. That's going to be the first thing they go to. Why? Because, like you said, they don't have a Nico Collins, you know, in Buffalo, right? And Mari Cooper, but he's not Nico Collins anymore. You know, when you start thinking about, you know, Baltimore, you know, Zay, what is going to be his situation?
I mean,
so that's the thing with him. And then is Mark Andrews and Likely. So they'll probably start utilizing those guys too. Why? Because Likely hit us over the head for a long, you know, a lot of different things as far as yards and whatnot. And so it's going to be a good match, whatever we see. But we got to do a much better job against the run and, you know, interjecting the run into what we want to do offensively. We have to. So
I didn't notice we didn't really use a quarterback spy today. And I feel like when we do play Josh Allen and Lamar, we will be actively using, whether it's Chenault or Tranquil to spy Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson next week. I feel like that's one thing. Stroud can run it, but he doesn't actively do it often throughout the game.
No.
So not enough to warrant a spy, whereas the other two next week, they will have a guy who's going to be kind of trailing them throughout the game. That's also another thing. I know people online were saying, if we can't contain C.J. Stroud, how are we going to contain Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen? Well, defensively, we'll have a different game plan for those two quarterbacks.
Yes, right.
Versus him.
Yeah, we open it up for him. Yeah, just, you know, open it up for him to run.
Yeah.
So
what did you – so Jalen Watson had to come back and play a lot more snaps than we anticipated. He didn't start the game out. I think Najee started. Then he came in when McDuffie went out for a little bit to scare the heck out of me. But then he came – McDuffie comes right back in, almost gets interception. That's a nice pass deflection.
I know.
Which was fantastic. But Watson looked good. I see Taron Young in the chat say a great game from Jalen Watson. I thought Watson didn't miss a beat from his long layoff.
I got to watch the film even more to see. It's, you know, it's, of course, I had a lot going on. But he did look like – he looked good. Like you said, we knew he was going to get some snaps in, and he looked good. So that was always – that's positive to see that he's out there just playing in itself. I think he looked pretty good, man. Like I said, once I dive into this film even more, I get to bring you a little bit more of, as far as the opinion on how he looked for the game.
Yeah,
he was out there. He came out healthy. He didn't get beat like a drum, obviously, in the game. Those are the positive ones. Just get his feet under him and get used to playing again.
Mm-hmm. And also unscathed the injury department. I know we had some scares. McDuffie had a scare. Brian Cook had a scare. Justin Reed had a scare. And all those guys ended up coming back and playing in the game today. And then CJ or Chris Jones, he was getting his calf massage on the sidelines. And a lot of people were scared about that at first. But, you know, everyone needs a little massage every so often to keep that part warmed up.
What's anything wrong with that?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. But yeah, unscathed in the injury department defensively, so that's a beautiful thing. I think on both sides of the ball, really. Before I want to get to the special teams, JD, we have a couple comments here from our fans in the chat. Taron Young, appreciate the contribution, Taron.
Brother, thank you. What's the name of two? Gave one earlier. Yeah,
Jake, we'll get to his question in a second. So, Taron, please speak on Pat's play. Poor vision all game, reluctant to let it rip, and Hicks being our best safety as a rookie. Love to hear your wisdom, fellas.
Pat's play. I think Pat did a decent job. Somebody said, is he playing not to throw an interception? He's protecting the football. He knows this, he's got to protect the football. But it's, like I said, he's working into like the rhythm too, into the game of just getting some things going. You know, when he started kind of like that running around a little bit, you know, not able to get up and stuff, that's when he starts like either get rid of the ball or, you know, throw it to somebody, Pat, you know, and here's the thing. Pat does what he does well, okay? And I'm not going to criticize him for it because when he does his magic, it works out. That's how he scored a touchdown. And when he was able to take off to get some yards, that's still a danger to the defense. What slows Pat down is, without a doubt, seven defenders in coverage, okay, which would for anybody. And especially if you only got four guys out or three guys out on some routes, you got to make sure you got like, okay, how can I, you know, maneuver this and, you know, kind of see what I can find the window. Guys get open. And if guys are not getting open, shoot, you got two or three guys in your zone. So it's tough for any quarterback. But I think he played a decent game. I mean, you know, he played like a leader. He played like a guy that's played in you know, in the playoffs and won Super Bowls. He wasn't rattled. To him, you know, every chance is an opportunity for him to score. And you can see it in his mind, in his eyes that he's looking at that. So I don't think there was any issue with that. Hicks being our best safety as a rookie. What Hicks has is the youth, the energy, athletic ability. He's still trying to gain that knowledge. Okay, so I don't know if best safety. I wouldn't say best safety. He's a very talented safety, one of our most talented safety we have out on the field. But I wouldn't say best yet.
Definitely plays beyond his years. He doesn't play like a rookie. He's very poised. You can tell he's confident out there when he plays too, right? Mahomes, I was just doing the numbers on this. So it looks like, and I think this goes into the, because he was obviously off on some of those. It wasn't just like, oh, what's wrong with him? It was, I think the whole team kind of looked that way too. I just did quick numbers. I might be wrong, but it was 8 for 14 in the first half. And then 8 of 11 in the second half. So definitely a lot more on point in the second half. And that bomb to Hollywood, I mean, that was a nice deep ball. It was one of his better deep balls of the year. It was almost caught, almost picked off too. That was really scary. I actually wanted to hurry up. I was like, that doesn't look, I don't want to look at this one again. Just go. But I think it's one of those, I think it's the rust. I think it was the rust for the whole team. And I think he definitely looked a little off, held it a little too long on some of those sacks too. But I just hope it's one of those, just the rust that just wears off.
But you see me like when he's doing the running around, like, okay, like Pat, don't get into too much of the Superman deal. Right. They're like, okay, just play within the boundaries where you need to play. Okay. Nothing heroic right now at this moment. I get like these moments come in for him because he's such a competitor to try to make things happen. And he does. But then sometimes what he'll do is he'll get himself out of, you know, like the rhythm of trying to throw the ball, get the ball in his hand. Like that's the holding the ball in his hand too long. Because it's like, just like a little bit too much. Like it's a little bit too much of that running around. Right. And so that's what you hate to see. And I know he'll, you know, once he looks at the film and breaks it all down, he'll be like, okay, I see kind of the things that I need to be a hero at, and some things I probably don't. Some things I probably need to get the ball out of my hands to do. So
I have a pretty crazy stat for you. I was just doing a lot of digging on this one. Okay. Four pass catchers in this game by the Chiefs. Lowest amount of pass catchers in a game in Mahomes' career.
So, I mean, that's crazy, yeah, because he does spread the ball around a lot. So, yeah, only four. His career is the lowest. Not tied for lowest. His is lowest.
No, it's lowest. And for, I mean, I was going pretty fast going through it, but it looked like it was the lowest by, like, a few.
Wow.
I don't even know if he ever had five. I think he had five once, if I'm not mistaken, because I was going fast. But damn. I definitely didn't see four. Five, maybe once. So, yeah, this is exact opposite of what I thought this game was going to be like. I thought it was going to be spreading everywhere. Two, 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 three, three, three. Like Hopkins would have three. Hollywood would have three. Xavier would have four or five. Kelsey would have like five or six. No, Gray would have like two or three. But like this is totally opposite of what I thought it was going to be. Well, pretty much like when all fails. Well, they always say it, though. It's a cliche at this point. When all else fails, look for number 87, right?
Look for number 87. But that's why I said that defensively, put seven in coverage. Have them sit on everything short, okay? Force them to get open, and let hopefully your four get home. That's the plan, right? That's the plan. So now he's got to figure out, because I got three or four guys, and okay, well, shoot, you have seven on four, seven on three. They got the numbers. And you got fast linebackers, good, you know, good corners, good safeties. That's what it is. So you disrupt that. So you make them having to run around, try to get open. And so when they would do, you know, obviously when they would do some of the replays, you could see the wide receivers trying to sit down, and there's like two guys in the area in the zone, and then trying to get open and whatnot. And Pat's trying to like, oh, shoot, he's not open. This guy's not open. But by that time, the people's breathing down his throat. That's another thing too. So the pass rushers were collapsing the hole, you know, the pocket. You got guys that was – I mean, shoot, they got very talented guys, defensive pass rush.
But what's even crazier than spreading it out, not having guys with multiple receptions or even one reception, outside of the three guys with, you know, multiple receptions, only one guy had more than one target. That's the crazy part. Like, Kelsey had eight targets, Worthy had six, No Gray had three, Hollywood had two, and everyone else only had one. So he wasn't even trying. He was like, you know what? I'll pick my spot.
But there were times though, I mean, I saw it during the game where he was trying to go for other guys. He was holding the ball a little bit longer than he should. He was trying to go, I saw him like on the one play, it was a third down play where he got sacked in the play. But he had Kelsey wide open in the middle of the field, a little whip snag route. But he gets a snap. He's looking right at D-Hop. D-Hop's running like an out route comeback on the short side of the field. And he gets carried away over there. You see Kelsey's kind of wide open in the middle of the field. So there were certain times where he was locked in on guys and, you know, hold the ball a bit longer and getting sacked or throwing the ball away or whatnot. So it was a little bit of that today. But, JD, to what you said, Next Gen Stats talked about the safety shell in the first half. They didn't give a full game recap on that. But versus single high, he was 6 of 7, 102 yards in the first half of the game with a 37.5% blitz rate. 37.5% blitz rate. And then versus split safety, 1 of 6 for 12 yards with a 0% blitz rate. So
there it is. There it is. So.
Yeah. So appreciate the comment there, Taryn, and contribution. Jacob Donabauer, what's up, buddy? Appreciate the contribution again, brother. So Texans D came to play today. Great effort. Outside of our D and the Eagles, I think the Texans D is the/was the hardest D remaining. Bills and Ravens have veterans, but Texans D has played solid all year. Guys, what are your thoughts on this?
I would say so. They're definitely better than the Bills defense. Ravens, yeah, probably better than the Ravens. Ravens got different areas. The guys, I think, I would say maybe give a little bit nod to. But yeah, Texans, as far as like the totality of defense, yeah, I think they might be the best defense we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have to look down the stretch. I know they were fourth, tied for fourth overall in sacks. But towards the end of the year, they were definitely humming. They were stopping the run. They were getting after quarterbacks. They have stingy cornerback. They have stingy cornerbacks. So they were, yeah, it was a good test as far as defense. It'll go down to Buffalo down in competition, but about equal with Baltimore, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
JD, you, while watching the game, seeing some of the highlights, Will Anderson's going to be a problem in this league. He already is a problem in his second year in the league. But I was watching it. I'm like, I wonder how long this goes before they say, you know what? You know what? Let's go back to the backup plan. Let's move Tooney back to guard and bring in DJ Humphries at left tackle. What did you think of the left tackle, left guard situation today between Tooney and Caliendo?
I like I said, man, I'll get into the film. I'll break it down a little bit more to actually know. But what I've seen out there, I think they did okay. I mean, shoot, like you said, Will Anderson is an absolute animal out there. He's going to give anybody fits. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
But for sure, I mean, we start seeing, he was like, okay, you got this guard out on me. I'm going to start working him a little bit. We're going to start seeing him and Hunter both was like, let's go to work. Juwan Taylor, let me go tell you his lunch too. And so you two talented pass rushers. And so Will Anderson, man, he's so talented in what he does, really. But Joe held up pretty good. He held up pretty good.
He adjusted well.
Yeah, man. Listen, this is the NFL. Guys going to get beat. I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint people out here. Okay? All right? But I'm going to give you some real news. Maybe you didn't know this or not, but guys do get beat in the NFL. No. Other guys do get paid too. And so Joe might give up a sack. He'll give up some pressures. Sure. Against a guy who was first round pick, third pick in the draft. Will Anderson was a beast down in Alabama. He's a real dude too. So that's the way it works. So sometimes some play pass plays, he's going to get the best out of them. Sometimes not. But I thought he was pretty solid. The run game, I thought the very first play, we tried it just to see how it was going to look. Now, I'll keep going back to what I said. I'd rather have a Joe Tooney, who's a Pro Bowl left guard, and seeing how it was going to work with DJ Humphries. And if not, you knew how to move out. But maybe once you get into that rhythm, especially as a lineman, man, you want to try to keep it as easy as possible.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to your grades on Monday just to see how, I mean, looking at the left tackle situation, I'm looking at a few other situations across the board. We kind of, you know, I don't want to get into this too much, but we'll get to it a little bit just because it's being the main thing talked about online by everybody who's a casual football fan, maybe a casual, people who don't watch anything and they just watch the NFL playoffs, but we kind of have to talk about it a little bit. Is it more of a joke here? Ginger Girl, thoughts on the roughing the passer calls? Buck and Aikman kept harping on them. JD, what were your thoughts on some of these calls here? So we got the first one. I think it was Will Anderson, helmet to helmet with Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I mean, his face mask did touch Mahomes' helmet, so that's not that's not made up at all. The one that I will say I think maybe a little ticky-tacky, although mm-hmm. the guys were leading with their helmets, is when Mahomes, you know, ran the ball and all of a sudden he kind of slid when he was like right by the defenders and they both went in on him and then they actually tackled each other instead. But they led with their helmets. That's the one I maybe say these people, the conspiracy theorists out there, maybe have a bone to pick with. But the first one, I think it's cut and dry. I mean, his helmet hit Mahomes' helmet. End of story. Done. But what were your thoughts on the rough and the passer calls, JD and Tej?
I think the first one, if they didn't call it, we could fuss about it. But I'm glad they called it because I think it was. He touched his face mask. Okay. It's part of the top of his head. That's it. The rule says anything up here, you're not be able to, to hit.
Yeah.
He touched it. He breathed on it. He was right here. That was enough for the rep to see. So I wouldn't matter if they're making that call. The second one, when Troy was vocally saying, good grief, oh my gosh, whatever he said, I was
just come like, on. Look.
I was like, you know, I was like, I don't know. But it looked worse than what it was, obviously. But I do believe, I agree with their point is, this offseason, you're going to have to get it clear. You're going to have to get it clear. Troy's pissed off because he used to get hit like that all the time. There wasn't no flag. I'm like, I know how he feels. You know, I know how he feels.
It was a late slide.
It was a late slide. It was.
It was kind of a drop, actually. It wasn't even like a slide. It was like a slide in place.
Yeah. I actually laughed. I laughed when he said all that. I just laughed, and I could just remember. I could like, boy, these jokers going to go crazy on Twitter about helping the Chiefs. I like, look at it. There's two calls. Come on. Oh, this
in my head, I was doing the Jordan against the Blazers, just shrug the shoulders and shake the head. We move on 15 yards.
But I told one of my boys, I'm like, hey, man, Brady gets calls like that. Nobody used to talk about him. So I said, Jordan get calls. It's the Jordan rule, Brady rule. Go get calls. Sorry.
What about his flop on the sidelines?
I try to stand like, man, come on. But he definitely flopped, you know?
Yeah.
This is a great hat. Oh,
that's not a Mahomes problem. That's just a modern, I hate to say, a modern athlete problem. And they have, look at the NBA, man. Those guys fall into the first row. They get leaned on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, yeah, it's weak, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, in the NBA, they call Jalen Brunson, Joel Embiid, Trey Young. I didn't even give Luka some of this. The foul merchants, that's what they call them. Is Mahomes becoming a foul merchant? You know, bringing the foul merchant to the NFL from NBA.
I'd say Josh Allen and Mahomes both do it. I've seen Josh Allen get like leaned on and literally does the all backwards thing.
Yeah, I don't think. But, you know, Mahomes ain't really his style, man. He's such a tough guy. You know, that's more Josh Allen's thing for sure. Josh Allen always looking at, you know, even to look silly. Like, you know, I know he's like silly, but it's like, hey, if the ref calls it, sure. Why not? Why not do it?
Both those guys get hit a lot. Okay. So,
yeah,
it's not like they don't get hit without it being called. I've seen plenty where I'm like, ha. And, you know, a non-Chief fan's reaction to that is,
you get plenty of calls
all the time. Okay. So what? We can never get them again? How many years of no calls should we get to equal out what you're in your head? Means a cheap, unfair game. I mean, come on. We've gotten screwed in plenty of games. Doesn't matter.
But Josh, without a doubt, cries about it more than Pat. With not even close. I mean, Josh is all the time on the ref's tail. Make this call. Why didn't you see this? He hit me right here. Where Pat, I think, is more like, all right, man, this is football. He'll get up. He just doesn't like the silliness, like the extra things that we see Crosby do. Like, come on, man. Like, you don't have to do any of those things. Let's just play ball. Let's just do that, right? You know, if I get hit, fine. If they don't call it, fine. Let's just line back up again. So, shout out to the girls, Jermaine Baker, Kateria Williams, and Sweeties, Susan Dunn. They watch it from the bowling alley. So, I'm going there after. They're doing a birthday party, so I'm ahead on where that at, man.
There you go.
What's up, ladies? How y'all doing? Shout out. Everybody say what's up. It's my wife and their co-workers. It's the homies right there.
Susan and the crew. Ladies. What's up, everybody?
Yeah. So.
Jacob, Donna Bauer again, another contribution. Appreciate you, brother.
Jacob, appreciate you.
The first was, it was a flag, but if they didn't call it, I wouldn't have been mad. The second I lifetime 39 lowered and led with a crown to another player's helmet. Yeah, I mean, the second one, I see why they call it. They were leading with the helmet. Mm-hmm. So I see why they call it, but that's the one maybe I could see the conspiracy theorists getting pissed off about. But whatever. Chiefs win nonetheless. JD, this is something we've talked about all year long. Yeah, I made a joke on Twitter. It actually got some good hits or good engagement. I think the MVP of this game, you're really laughing. It's kind of a joke here, but I'm saying it in jest, but there's some truth to it. Dave Tobin, the special teams, MVP's right there. We got the kickoff return to start the game out, 70-yard kickoff return. Remigio almost fumbles. It almost cost us big time. But 70-yard to start the game. Fairbairn misses a kick. Has nothing to do with Tobe and special teams, but misses a kick. That's on his watch. He's overseeing all that. Missed PAT. Bunker goes 3 for 3. Mm-hmm. And then you have a block kick at the end of the game. And then I'm not even going to count the safety at the end of the game. That was more killing clock. That was more just time management type stuff. But we've been waiting all year long, and JD's been saying it. JD, who not only was he a badass tight end in the NFL, fellas, this guy was also a special teams coach. So JD knows what he's talking about when it comes to special teams. Mm-hmm. And JD said all year long, if you've been watching our Monday great show, he's been saying these guys need to go out there and execute. Dave Tobe can do what he can do and say all the things he needed to say. They need to go out there and execute. What did you think about the execution level? And you're seeing the progress, the maturation process throughout the season from our young Bucks and these guys who are on the special teams units. What did you make of the special teams today?
I think they did a great job. And Dave didn't pinch not one person out there. Okay. All he did is just make sure the guys are in the right position to make plays. That first one was on Nico and his talent. Incredible, incredible return by him to open up the game. Just the energy of it. Almost like the fumble. I was like, oh, come on, Nico. Come on now.
You almost had a couple fumbles.
Yes. Yes. And then, of course, I mean, Buckner, he is who he is. I didn't have any worries about him. Everybody was kind of worried. Like, is he gonna, yeah, butt kicker, Buckner is going to be fine. I didn't really have any concerns about him whatsoever. So those guys executed really well. They did a great job. Then Chanel coming in and blocking, you know, the field goal. I mean, that's two this year? That's incredible for a guy to have. They thought it was Reed that came out the edge. That was Chanel, right? Same thing, special team. So all those guys, man, did a great job executing the things that they want him to execute. I mean, he's going to be giddy in the meeting, you know, because it really takes guys out there to really just stay on their blocks, and it's effort. That's what it takes, man. It takes effort. But what did y'all think of the guy that pushed the coach? What do y'all think about that?
I thought if it was my team, I would think, this is not a good way to start the game. We're already having like players and coaches having spats on the sideline. I would think right away, bad omen to start the game. I thought that was terrible.
I know some Texan fans were online arguing that he was hyped. It was more of like an excitement push because he's the guy who thought, they said he thought that they recovered a fumble when he did that.
So he takes his helmet off, tosses it on the ground. Clearly, after he didn't get the fumble, like I don't know why they think he recovered a fumble, but even so, you can't take your helmet off in the game of play. You just can't do it. Can't do it out there on the field like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the coach, I mean, if you think you recovered a fumble, you should be around the pile to know for sure. I don't know anybody who thinks they recovered a fumble and you don't walked off already. I think everybody's sitting there waiting for the results like you should. And so I think it's the name Chris Boyd. That's the name, Chris Boyd.
Yeah.
Man, I said, look, they're going to do whatever they need to do. But I said, those jokers need to immediately take his helmet, send him straight to the locker room. Period. He's done. That's what I would do. Me personally, and I don't even know, but you see the coach like, yo, the coach like passionate. I get like all the hype, man. I just, for me, like you said, I think it sends a bad look, an omen. Yeah, coach looks scared. He's like, yo, like, what are you doing? So I want to know what's going to happen after that, man, because I just, maybe it's just.
I'll be contrarian and say, what about when Kelsey pushed Reed?
When Kelsey pushed Reed, and Reed kind of gave me a look too, like, all right, man, like, you lucky it's you. Has there been anybody else? You've been out of here too. But Andy knew where it came from, right? He kind of knew. Trav probably shouldn't have pushed Andy like that either. Andy's an older guy. Trav just got to know, like, hey, man, right? I know he's trying to get him hype and stuff, and I'm sure. And he was like, yo, sorry, coach. I didn't mean to put you at heart. Like, dang, God. You know, I know I'm hype and stuff. He's like, yeah, I know you hype, man, but shoot, you know, watch yourself.
I will say, yeah, when and yeah, it's a good point. I forgot about the Tasia. I've already blocked it out of my memory. But yeah, I remember watching that at the game. I was like, oh no, what's going on here? Why is there a fight? Why is Kelsey shoving Andy? But luckily we didn't lose that game, and people can't point to that and say, see, that was a downfall of the Chiefs dynasty. So luckily we don't.
Yeah.
Because that would be something people would say, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Drew Brewski said, unprofessional at the least. He was pissed. But needs to be fined. Oh, he's going to get fined all right. He might find himself at McDonald's or somewhere, you know, in a car wash the very next day. For real, dude. Like, hey, you know, I was hype. Yeah, you was hype. Hype yourself on out the door. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. See you later.
Yeah.
So.
Noah John Marshall, the contribution is a first for me. I've never seen this before. 100,000 smackaroos IDR. So thanks for being live on TY.
Yeah, Noah John, we're working out as far what is that in Indonesian rupiah? It's about $7. Thank you, sir.
And we'll take it, baby. Time.
Yes, sir. $7.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did you guys start shooting
like always?
Yeah, yeah, Noah's been around since the beginning of this whole thing, the whole journey of Chief Concerns.
Noah might be the only one that's been on our show from one of right?
Barbershop's been on our show as well. Barbershop was on one of the episodes that his audio was pretty rough. We had to turn up his volume big time. But yeah, Barbershop was on the show as well. We had a few fans come on. Did you guys start streaming before first 49ers ring? No, it was the 2020 season, so it was after that. It was the after that. Can't recall 5:30 a.m. kickoff here in Bali. Great way to start the day. 100,000 Indonesian rupiah, about 7 smackaroos. So appreciate the love, brother. Appreciate your constant fanhood and engagement throughout these years, man. We love you, buddy.
Yeah. He said right here, you had some other fans, but yeah, best day of my life. That's what we like hearing, man. Appreciate you, brother, for coming on. Seriously. You know, so
I will cherish this day for the rest of my life. Come on, what movie is that, JD?
Us two.
What movie is that from?
I've chased today. I don't know. Say it again.
I will cherish this day for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's Eddie Murphy. That's Coming to America.
I was going to give you the next line. Just a man I met in the restroom.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, man.
Zamunda. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Coming to Mary Thunder.
I want that picture on my wall, too. Took the hat off right here. I love that picture.
Yeah. Hakeem. Yeah. Little Julie. I love it. I love everybody's movie buffs on here, too. I appreciate y'all so much. Let's shout out real quick to my boy, Brendan Camara. It's his birthday. That's where they're at right now. Brendan, happy birthday, brother. If you're watching this, happy birthday to you. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Brendan. Happy birthday to you.
Right. And I believe it's also Andrea's birthday. I think I saw in the chat, it's Andrea's birthday today. So Andrea, happy birthday to you as well.
Andrea, happy birthday to you as well. Yes. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Andrea. Happy birthday to you. Got the win for you. So, yay.
Gotta love it. Again, another Jacob Donbauer, another one, brother. Appreciate you, man. Mahomes floors, AFC Championship game. Insane. Let's go. With a bunch of trophy emojis for our audio audience. So, guys, I'll do any other takeaways before we head out of here, guys? I know the Lions and the Commanders games going on right now, but any takeaways before we head out?
Good stuff, man. Look, just build on this win, okay? We got this rust out of us and under our belt. I think we'll be much better next week for sure, getting ready to see who we're going to be playing. But I think the guys are ready and prepared. You'll see a different – Patrick Mahomes, a different offense by next week for sure. So don't be so pessimistic. We know how great they are. We just keep relying on those guys. They're gonna be all right.
It's funny because I think people think we're being pessimistic. Look, I mean, we're just pointing things out. I mean, this is do or die time. If you don't get it figured out now, you're gone. Like, there's right. no like, oh, we still got 3 more weeks to figure it out. It's just, you know, it's not. This is it. And our next opponent, us and the next opponent are the Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah.
Like, the next week is the Super Bowl in a lot of people's eyes, no matter who we play. So it's pretty much do or die now. It is do or die.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Let me say bye to everybody out here as well. Come see me tomorrow. I'm going to break this film down for sure. Or not tomorrow. Dang.
Monday. Saturday, JD. Monday, baby.
Hey, God. I know it. At my frame. But G-Pick, Wendy, YB Negative, Optimistic James, Andre Chenault, happy birthday again. Sweetie Thunder Dan, good seeing you, my brother. Got to come on here more. Got to get on your show as well. I'm the Brown. Good seeing you. Jacob Donabauer, appreciate it. Everything that you've given us. G-Pick on the money and the contribution. Appreciate it. Hannah, Kevin Mars, Chiefs fan 211, Lynn Julian. Sweetie, no John Marsh, my man. Stay safe over that way, my guy. Thomas Pinkerton, Mike Brennan, my guy, Taryn Young. Let me see. Who else we got out here? Kathy Welch. Let me see. Drew Brewski. Let's see. Protection 2K. King Mo was here. Nana Sherry. Good seeing you, like always. Demonte Green Beans. What's up, guy? Demonte Green Beans. Chalk G is in here in the house, too. Let me see. Who else we got? Young Native Tino64.
Also, shout out to everybody who came in tonight. I know we've been doing our post-game show on Bleacher Report for the last few seasons. Yeah. We'll be bringing it back to our channel. So it's nice to be back and see everybody. We had at some point 520 people in on the live tonight. So gotta love that.
Awesome. Well, what's up to everybody? Vine, get to say your name. Y'all know what it is. You know how much we love you all. Y'all keep coming back. Come checking it out. We're gonna give you all the goodness. We got a great comment on Twitter just saying it, and I think we embody what we want to be as far as in this channel is we're going to be very objective about things. We're going to give you a good balance. You know, we're not going to come out here and kill and just be Debbie Downers on things. We're going to give you the real truth on what we feel, good look about these things. And we're going to love you up too while we do it. Okay. We may disagree, but we still going to show you love because we show you love to us as well.
And so, Drew's last name is Bruce. So Drew Brew. Drew Brew. Yeah, there you go. I'll remember it that way now. Drew Brew.
Oh, okay. There you go. I didn't see that he spelled it phonetically. Bruce. Okay. I do like Brewski, though. Brewski is funny to say, but Bruce is good, too, though.
Bruce. Yeah, Bruce. Sherry Street is on here as well. I see Neff was in here. Neff, you keep watching the Chiefs. Keep watching them. Okay, Neff. Zach Devlin. But hey, you guys and ladies, Ed Otero as well.
I got to ask, too, is Thunder Dan, is that a Dan Marley reference? Please say it is. Yeah, thumbs up? Yeah?
No. That's what
I'm okay. Saying. Okay. Like, wow, okay.
That's before.
Okay. Yeah, but good. It was 100 people on here. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Kansas City, you Jazz, Major Chip Harris, Ed Otero. Listen, Ginger Girl, appreciate it as well. Ghost Hunter 1974, I ain't seen you in a while, man. Good seeing you. Chiefs easy three-peat. Listen, y'all brothers, man, I love you all. I'm going to get down here to this party, go hang out with the ladies, okay, my brothers, and have a good time and watch the rest of this game. But appreciate each and every one of y'all coming out. Thank y'all so much, okay? Enjoy the win tonight, man. Enjoy the win.
You're going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Savor it. Savor.
Savor it until Monday until JD breaks out the notebook and checks his list twice because some of these people today, they don't want JD looking at the film. The film doesn't lie. The film does not lie. but we hope everybody enjoys the win, and we will see you guys Monday night for Monday morning tight end with our guy, Jason Dunn. Love you all, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Right. Love y'all.
Love you guys. Appreciate y'all. Love y'all. God bless y'all. Be safe. We'll see you.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.